Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Hump Day edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You know, you're listening right now, and you can always be a part. 844-967-2789. I got my pal Evan here in Madison at the Devil Radio World HQ. He'll be lightly screening your calls, but you better dial. This is the hour to do so. And Fancy Brian, I want to come back, and I want to tell a little story about what will happen before the Supreme Court. The overturning of Roe v. Wade. And I know I come off as a little bit of a bubble burster here. Why are you predicting such bad things, Crudy? Because it's going to happen. And I've got a little article here at the Washington Post. Paul Waldman, the columnist. Now, nothing will stop the Supreme Court from overturning Roe v. Wade. Yeah, it's coming down the pike, folks. It's coming quick. When the history of how American women lost their reproductive rights is written, the bill signing that took place in Oklahoma City on Tuesday should be acknowledged as the key moment when the shrinking window of possibility that the Supreme Court might hold back from overturning Roe v. Wade essentially closed forever. The occasion was Governor Kevin Stitt, rhymes with Stitt, signing a bill outlawing almost all abortions in the state, a move that is plainly unconstitutional, as it would be for the state to make it illegal to practice Judaism or criticize the president. Why is this one bill in this one state so meaningful? Because it makes the death of Roe almost inevitable, and because it highlights Democrats' impotence in the face of an assault on women's fundamental rights. Sometime soon, the court will issue its ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson, Women's Health Organization, a case that concerns Mississippi's ban on most abortions after the 15th week of pregnancy. Over the past year or so, there's been a steady shift in what advocates and analysts think the court will decide. At first, many believed that justices would find some clever way to undermine abortion rights without issuing a ruling explicitly overturning Roe. I've heard that described as a death by a thousand cuts. The theory was that because the issue is so politically volatile and carries risk for the Republican Party, the justices would be hesitant to do it all in one fell swoop. While the court's most conservative members particularly think, you know, Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito have made their desire to do so clear, the more incrementalist conservatives, particularly Chief Justice John Roberts, would want to proceed carefully even if they shared the same ultimate goal. So while there's no question they would undermine reproductive rights in a significant way, the final outcome was in doubt. But today, there are fewer and fewer observers who think that's true. What has changed is not just the actions of the justices themselves, but the part Republican state lawmakers are playing in the dance between the court and the political sphere. Oklahoma and other states have outright bans in the pipeline, have essentially forced the court's hand. As Scott Lemieux points out, stopping short of overturning Roe only works if Republican-controlled legislators were willing to play along. Oklahoma's ban will be challenged, and sooner or later the court will have to rule on it or another state ban like it. Faced with upholding or striking down a near-total ban such as Oklahoma's, the court can't take half-steps. The justices can't find refuge in debating the number of weeks into a pregnancy restrictions might be allowed, or whether some hoop state make women jump through are acceptable and others aren't. They'll have to decide on the fundamental question. And here's the fundamental question. Either women have the right to abortions or they don't. And the court's conservative majority clearly thinks they don't. This demonstrates that when we say the Supreme Court is political, we don't just mean the justices themselves have political agendas. We also mean that the court and its rulings exist in a political context and can be influenced and shaped by other political actors. And right now, Republicans across the country are emboldened. I've been pointing that out to you fine listeners for the last couple days. They're not waiting for the Supreme Court to give them what they want. They're going to force it to do so. Unfortunately, at the moment, there isn't much reason to think Democrats' response will be anything but weak and ineffectual. Well, that's not Crudy saying that. That's Paul Waldman, but I'm reading the words. In blue states, Democrats are passing laws to enhance and secure abortion access. But although national Democrats could make the assault on women's rights a mobilizing issue for the midterm elections, they seem reluctant to do so. Instead, they're spending their time debating on how to best focus on kitchen table issues and politely ask Republicans not to hit them too hard. Meanwhile, Republicans know that even in the face of the Supreme Court's ongoing assault on fundamental rights, only their side seems to care much about the future of the court. So Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell can make it clear that Republicans will never again allow a Democratic president to fill a Supreme Court vacancy. And barely anyone takes notice, as if, hey, that's just politics. That's why my great fear, according to Waldman, is that the court will overturn Roe this summer, consigning tens of millions of American women to women unfortunate enough to live in red states to a grim future. And Democrats will issue some stern press releases about it. Then after a day or two, go back to saying how they care about gas prices too. Then they'll be obliterated in the midterms, lose the House and the Senate, and tell themselves it was all the left's fault. That's by no means a certainty, according to Paul Waldman. It's possible that when the demise of Roe is not a future possibility, but something that has actually happened, Democrats will feel the appropriate anger and rise up in response. It sometimes takes that kind of shock to produce a real mobilization. But make no mistake, once Roe is gone, conservatives aren't just going to declare victory and stop working. They're coming for birth control next. When that happens, will Democrats finally act like it's the emergency it is? I wish I could say I knew. Those are the words of Paul Waldman. And it is a concern shared by yours truly. Are the Democrats waiting for this to happen before they start bringing attention to this issue? I mean, I'm not sure what the clear method or message of the Democratic Party is right now. But hell, this would be a big one and an important one to point out, especially to your own constituents. I mean, Republicans have shown us they don't give a damn about women's reproductive rights, except constraining them and dictating them to them.
This is what happens when a political football becomes an actual football. And it becomes real. And it's not just something you're throwing back and forth to yell at each other about. This is when the rubber hits the road here.
But are the Democrats prepared for that day? I'm not seeing any indication that they are. I don't hear a lot of urgency on the topic. I don't hear political leaders bringing up, hey, this is about to come down the pike. And it's going to be devastating because what has been enshrined as a right constitutionally under Roe v. Wade, is going to flip on a dime. And if you would live in a state like the state of Wisconsin, abortion will be illegal.
What I keep hearing is basically I support women's reproductive rights in a tone that basically means that no one's ever going to overturn that, and basically also gets you to stop talking about abortion in general and move on to other things, because Democrats don't actually want to talk about the specifics of abortion.
Well, I got to give our pal, Peter Pekarsky, a little bit of credit. He is a U.S. senatorial candidate in the state of Wisconsin. And, he says in his campaign ads, and they are playing out here on Devil Radio, so I hear them. But he says effectively, they're the pro-birth party. There's no pro-life about this position. They're the pro-birth party. So are you part of the pro-birth party or the pro-choice party? And I'm asking you, Democrats, broadly, widely, and is it an important enough issue to rise up in the streets and act like this is a big frickin' deal? Because it's a BFD, as far as I'm concerned. I would hope that many would share my opinion. But, you know, it's just me talking into a microphone here. 844-967-2789. Your calls are now. Jake from Milwaukee, welcome back.
Yeah, I mean, I was just calling about the myth of pro-life. It doesn't exist. There may be a couple people around the world who are absolutely pro-life. They're against capital punishment, against pollution. But what the right-wingers are doing is called forced birth. And that should be that's bad. You're forcing a woman to you're taking control of her body. You're making it so she has to, with some of these things, birth the baby of a rapist. And you're okay with that. But at the same time, you hate the COVID restrictions, and it's cool for a million Americans to die. You don't care about PFAS. Yeah, I mean, even though they can cause thyroid cancer, other cancers in your water. No, you don't care about that. You don't care. Oh, you like Putin. It's peace. Yeah, it's a peace invasion, right? Oh, that's fine. I mean, no one's getting genocided there. And you can go on and on with these forced birthers, because the thing is they're lying. All of them are lying. They do not believe in the sanctity of life at all. So I just have to just re-throw that, because all your conservative listeners, you're lying. Okay, CJ, tell me that you're pro-life, huh? You know, because I hear you bitch and complain on this show all the time and be mean. Stop being mean and prove that you're pro-life. Come on. Okay, Crudy, I just had to get that off my chest. Dom is not here to do it for me right now.
Any other rants? Just itching at you?
No.
I'll give you like another 30 seconds, Jake, if you want it.
It's just that I'm sick of this. I mean, they're forced birth fascists, all of them. They don't believe in life. They believe in power for power's sake alone. And the people who support you, support them, that 30%, you're just as guilty as they are. Because owning the libs, in the end, will kill you of thyroid cancer from PFAs and anything else that the Republicans put through because they get money.
Well, and if you're Mike Pence, it could lead you on the end of a noose. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More of your phone calls. Dial us up. 844-96-PARTY.
Yeah. American women deserve better. And American women are here to fight back.
Well, history's written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
I drank beer with my friends.
They're winners. Winners get to do what they want.